Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back again to our unique program, Understanding Muslims and Sharing Jesus Effectively with Them. I want to start by saying we should feel free to love Muslims without having to worry about anything. Because if we are going to start worrying about their agenda and becoming suspicious and, you know, worry about Muslim terrorists, I mean, we let the government do that and the CIA do that and national security do that. But for us as believers, we need to focus on being filled by God's love through the Holy Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and love Muslims. Why? Because we want to take advantage of their presence. And I always say the presence of Muslims in America and in Europe is not a mere coincidence. It's a divine providence. God actually is using the circumstances that happens in their Muslim countries. And, you know, of course, millions of Muslims had to flee their Muslim countries as refugee in Europe. And many more millions came to America and Europe to seek a better life. So most of these Muslims, I would say, are open to the gospel because they've seen what Islam has done to their people. So we need to take advantage of the opportunity that God is giving us. And remember something. This opportunity might not last for a long time. Especially that everything changes in the world. And God wants us to pay attention to what He is doing now and become His partners. Right now, He is working in the Muslim world, in the Muslim refugee lives, and in the Muslims that chose to leave their Muslim countries and to come to Europe and to America. And there is a big need for a genuinely charitable approach to Muslims. The militant approach is no more suitable today than it was in the days of the Crusades. Muslims still remember the European Crusaders. Trust me, I studied it in history in Egypt. And it was a holy war, and many Christians justify it, but this is not my issue here. My issue is we cannot depend on the militant approach of governments or the political approach of governments. We need to have a different focus, an attitude of caring and the concern, and I'm talking about genuine concern for their well-being, both temporarily and eternally, should be the overriding factor in our dealings, actually with all men, including Muslims. It does not matter whether the world responds to us with gratitude or hostility. It does not matter. The Christian disposition towards the world must always be conditioned by the love of God that has been fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now I want to make a progress and start a new topic, which discusses the biblical foundation for cross-cultural evangelism, at least one important biblical aspect that can help us greatly in our efforts to evangelize Muslims effectively. And I want to start by reading in Acts 17. From verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Understanding Muslims and sharing Jesus effectively with them. And we are reading Acts 17 from verse 22. And the first lesson I learned from this passage, Paul sought a point of contact through which he could communicate his message. And he found it in the inscription to the unknown God. Apostle Paul related his message directly to this inscription. He told the Athenians, we read, "What you worship as unknown, this I declare to you." Wow. In doing that, Apostle Paul very effectively set the gospel against the background of their beliefs. Paul continues, verse 27. "God did this so that men should seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Aha! Okay, now, the second lesson I learned from this passage, Apostle Paul quoted their poets to validate his message. Okay? These two statements in verse 28, "In him we live, move, have our being, also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." These two statements, actually, the Greek poets have said about Zeus. When you do your research in the Christian commentaries, you will discover this fact. Zeus, the supreme god of the pagan Greeks. So even though these two statements the Greek poets have said about Zeus, however, Paul unreservedly applied them to the god whom he was proclaiming, the God who raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 31. So to ice in his message, that's what happened. Apostle Paul appealed to pagan writings to support his argument that the unknown God whom the Athenians worship was the same God he was now proclaiming to them. That's what happened. Even though these two statements were said about Zeus, however, as a matter of fact, they are true statements that can apply to the true and living God. Aha! So that's what I believe happens. Paul obviously considered that to the extent that they correctly describe something of man's relationship with God, they could be considered as referring ultimately to the one and the only living God. Paul saw the city full of idols. His spirit was provoked within him. However, he did not turn his eyes away from what he saw in a pious disgust. Rather, he acquainted himself with the beliefs of the people he intends to reach with the gospel. And Paul found something true the Athenians believe in. He found something true the Athenians believe in and agreed with them. Wow! about this truth, then he guided them to a higher truth that they did not know at all. And this topic will be continued next program, because it's a very important topic and very sensitive, so don't make your judgment now. Wait till the topic is complete and think about it and pray about it. And then God will guide you to the best approach to people that different in faith than us, and the best approach toward evangelizing Muslims. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you, God, for your word, your holy word in the Bible. Thank you, God, for the example of the Apostle Paul. Thank you, God, for our Christian teachers that help us to understand how can we minister to people different than us. God, today we surrender our lives to you, me and my audience. And we ask you, God, to keep teaching us, keep helping us to grow in grace and in knowledge. Train us, God. Train us to be your awesome, strong army that will invade the Muslim world and communicate the message of your love and salvation in the most effective way possible to the people that do not know you yet. God, motivate us, equip us, equip your church, God, our fellowships, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims. God, we pray, use us, God, for the salvation of multitudes of Muslims. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters, please don't hesitate to contact me if I can be of any help to you or any help to your Muslim acquaintances or Muslim friend. I am always available. Try to make myself available. I am here to serve you. God's peace with you. Salam.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sammy Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sammy, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.